So all of these factors are important and have to be taken into account, and I hope that maybe we can also talk about them more in detail in the second part of today's, you know, discussion. But I want to now focus on the main arguments that I've tried to develop. And I'm very interested in hear what you think of them and whether they appear as convincing to you as they have eventually to me. And what I mean by that is that there are some specific development in the process of you know the development of a capitalist society, some specific processes that, in my view, are especially important, you know, for understanding the witch hunt, right? And one in particular is the development of a new attitude towards work, and consequently a new attitude towards workers, and a new attitude towards demographic issues. What I mean by that is that, you know, with the shift to a capitalist society, and here, again, I do not think I'm saying anything new, you begin to have a ruling class, you begin to have a dominant class that looks at work as the most important element in the accumulation of wealth. And in a sense, restructure society, restructures the economy from the point of view of developing relations, developing social relations, developing economic relations that are most conducive to the accumulation of labor, that are most conducive to the exploitation of labor. And that new conception of labor as the source, the main source of wealth, right, can be shown to have affected the view that the ruling class in Europe had also of population. In fact, throughout the 16th and 17th century, you begin to have an ideology that looks at population as the main wealth of a nation, right? And an ideology that basically sees, believes, and teaches that the more workers, the more wealth. And that, in fact, as a result, you know, changes also the attitude towards procreation, the attitude towards natality. And the argument that I develop, and there is an argument that now is shared also by other feminists who have studied the witch hunt, is that, in fact, one aspect of the witch hunt, right, one explanation for the witch hunt is the attempt of the ruling elite, is the intent of the employer class and the state, you know, in the period that led to the transition to a capitalist society, to basically take over the body of women and take over the body of women with the purpose of controlling the source of labor, of controlling the very source, the very instrument for the production of new workers. And in other words, what I see the witch hunt as performing, and here where the parallel with the slave trade becomes important, is that the witch hunt becomes an instrument, right, for the attempt by the state to control women, in particular control the reproductive powers of women, to control the women's body. And it did so to the extent that the witch hunt criminalized, even though in a seemingly fantastic way, but it criminalized, you know, what we would call today, you know, reproductive, you know, any attempt of women to control their reproduction. And for example, many witches were accused of causing abortion in women, of causing impotence in men. In fact, the image of the castrating witch was a classic, of killing children above all, right? Of causing, of being an infanticide, you know, a group devoted to infanticide. And so those accusations, in fact, which have led to the definition of the witch, you know, as a woman, you know, generally old, that it's the enemy of children, right? And of course, has had a lot of consequences on the literature. For example, how many children's stories have been built, you know, around this hostility of the old woman to the child. That one way that can be explained is by seeing that this accusation occur in a background, you know, occur in a context that was beginning to look at, you know, procreation as extremely important, you know, from the point of view of its economic utility. And therefore, you know, was attempting to establish a very direct control on the procreative process. It's very interesting here, and I think that it's revealing that in the period that we are referring to, through the 16th and 17th century, mind you, the witch hunt begins, you know, the first trial begins in the 15th century, but it really takes off in a massive way in the 16th and the 17th, right? Now, in this period, very, very, very significantly, the second crime for which women were imprisoned and executed was infanticide. In fact, a whole new legislation against infanticide, you know, it's introduced in this period in the legal code of several countries of Europe, right? And there is a very, very clear connection between the persecution of the witches and the severity with which infanticide began to be again punished in this period. So, you know, one way to put it is to say that the witch hunt was an instrument, right? Was an instrument in the state appropriation of the female body and an instrument, right, by establishing capital punishment for abortion and for the control of reproduction, was an instrument for the expropriation of the women's body, for the transformation of the women's body into an instrument for the production of workers. And I would claim, and I hope I'm not taking too much time in making this point, but I would claim that this is an aspect of the capitalist discipline of women that has continued, you know, long after the witch hunt. In fact, in many countries of Europe, infanticide was punished with death until the 19th century. And as you know very well, that the state attempt to control the body of women is by no means ended. In fact, even in the year 2006, and even after the women's liberation movement and so forth, you know, we still are in a situation in which the state at all level is fighting to control the women's body and also to control the production of life. In fact, the boom in reproductive technologies that we have witnessed, you know, in the last 20, 25 years, and the attempt of the state increasingly more and more, like, to reproduce life also in separation to the extent to as much as they can or they would like to from the female body, right? It's again, in my view, part of this process of you know, the transformation, you know, of reproductive powers into economic resources, into something that can be used and put at the surface of the accumulation of wealth. Now, this aspect of the development of capitalism is not the only one, however, that is important to understand the witch hunt. And I want to mention three more that I believe are, you know, crucial, as crucial, and closely related to what I just, to the one that I just mentioned. The second is the development of new work discipline, right? With capitalism, and here I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you that capitalism has intensified the work discipline, intensified the regimentation of work, and has tried to regulate every aspect of our life, our body, our energies, our psychic and physical energy, and put them at the surface of work. And in fact, has developed an ethic whereby work is religion. Work is supposed to be the most important aspect of life, and every other aspect of life has to be subordinated to the performance, you know, of work. And here too, the past is like the present. The present is like the past, right? Because for all the technology that has been invented is supposed to meant to liberate us, you know, we now work more than ever, right? But that process of intensification of the work day and the work process begins in, of course, with the development of capitalism in the time that was, you know, coeval, you know, with the witch hunt. By the 16th century, this was already well advanced. And so you have an attempt already. You have a ruling class that now basically looks at all aspects of life, popular games, popular sports, communal occasion, communal festivals, from the point of view of eliminating them as wasteful, and looks also at sexuality as something that has to be controlled and has to be curbed and has to be allowed only to the extent that is productive. And in fact, you begin to have an attack on every form of sexuality that was considered non-productive, that is, non-procreative. And clearly the witch hunt, right? In fact, the witch became the symbol of the lustful woman, you know, of excessive lust, and of the woman who was lustful beyond control, who copulated, you know, even with the devil. And clearly, again, there is a connection between that demonization of sexuality, and particularly the demonization of female sexuality, and the new kind of work discipline that was being implemented. Now, okay, oh my, this is terrible. This is terrible, I didn't even, oh, this is terrible. Okay, I didn't realize the time has passed, and okay, so I'll have to make my other point more schematically, but the third point that I want to make is the third aspect of capitalist development, and in a sense, perhaps, in one way, is the most important, is that with capitalism, right, with the development of capitalist society, you know, you have a process that is structural to a capitalist society, which is the process whereby the work that goes into the reproduction of life and to the reproduction of the workers is completely devalued. In other words, with capitalism, you have a kind of economic restructuring whereby, you know, only the kind of work that goes to produce for the market is considered work, is considered important, and is considered worthy of a compensation, and carries with it a certain social power. Now, by contrast, every kind of activity that is useful for the reproduction of human life and useful for the reproduction of the capacity to work now is declared as non-work, right? And at the same time with the development of capitalism, all reproductive activities became feminized. And here I could elaborate on this issue, because what we see in the 16th and 17th century is the gradual expulsion of women from wage labor. In other words, as you have a society that develops and that begins to develop a shift to a type of work relation based on wages, right, you also have, you know, a process of reorganization of the division of labor, whereby wage work becomes not only work, period, but becomes male, where it becomes predominantly done by men. Whereas all the activities that go into the work of reproduction, you know, become the prerogative of women, but also at the same time disappear as work. Right? So that with the development of capitalism, you have the development of a division of labor whereby women and men, the work that women and men do, becomes more and more different, more and more differentiated. And where the division of labor becomes also the basis, the foundation for a hierarchy of labor, a long gender line. Right? And it's a hierarchy that clearly is constructed and then maintained through this following century through the wage relation, right? In other words, with the development of capitalism, you begin to have a new division of labor that makes women and men more different in terms of the activity and also creates the basis for a subordination of women to men and creates the basis for a use of the wage, right? A particular use of the wage, as the wage becomes a tool for the subordination of women, for the control of women.